This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and Cullen Steele bringing you to 10 a.m. That's when the Bud Light countdown to kickoff takes over with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, as we get ready for that noon kickoff season finale in Tampa Bay. The Saints trying to play spoiler and prevent the Bucs from winning their fourth straight NFC South title. We'll get to see Spencer Rattler under center. Derek Carr still a no-go for the black and gold. It'll be Spencer Rattler making his sixth career NFL start, the rookie getting ready for that action. And we talked to him in the locker room during the week, and here's what Rattler had to say to the media as he prepares to take on the Buccaneers.
Spencer, what do you kind of want to see from yourself and the offense in the final game against the Bucs?
Yeah, just a complete game. You know, we've put halves together, we've put quarters together, but just put together a full game. That's the goal.
What do you think you're doing better now than you were in starts two or start four?
Mm-hmm. I think just more settled in, you know, seeing stuff a little better, you know, extending when I need to, running when I need to, and just trying to get the ball, you know, to our playmakers, you know, but we got to do it. I got to do it. We got to do it as a group, players and coaches, the whole game. You know, we start out one half hot. We can't come out stale the second, and just create momentum, create a rhythm throughout the whole game.
When you went back and watched last game, what kind of stood out about the second half?
Yeah, just mistakes, like on our end. I mean, if it was, you know, a missed throw, a missed opportunity, a drop, a holding call, a penalty, you know, just dumb stuff that we can clean up, you know. And you look back at the tape, and we were rolling that first half. That second half was our own mistakes, shooting ourselves in the foot on big plays, you know, horrible on third down in the second half, and you know, in multiple areas. So we all got to be better in that case.
Does this year either change the way that you go about the offseason or inform what you need to work on, those sorts of things?
Yeah, this will be my first offseason in a while. So really attacking every area. You know, I don't have one thing circled, but just want to make myself even a better player. You know, I feel like I'm not even scratching the surface yet. I want to take it to a whole nother level coming back next year, no matter what happens. So my mindset stays the same.
You kind of touched on this in the past. What is Derek meant for you while you've had this opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, he's been great since day one. You know, I look back to the day I got drafted. He was one of the first guys to call me and say he's excited to get to work. And, you know, he's been awesome throughout the whole year. Being able to learn from him, ask him questions, pick his brain, and just watch how he plays, because he does it the right way. He does the right way in and out the building. I mean, ultimate character, ultimate father figure. He's been a great, great leader for our room and team.
You're kind of doing like the autopsy of your performance, like after the fact, separate from the team result. Like,
yeah.
How do you evaluate the plays that like you made that didn't count because there's like a penalty over here? Yeah. Like, how does that kind of equate in how you view yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're confident because we made those plays, and you know, it's unfortunate we had some things not go our way with penalties and stuff like that. But you know, my job is to get the ball out, give my guys a chance, and control what I can. So if I control what I can, you know, I'll feel good about myself. I felt good about last game. I just want to put a full game together. You know, and those two plays, for example, those are probably two scores, 14 points, you know, for us. So that's big. So, you know, focusing on all those little areas. We've been doing that this week. And, you know, we want to finish out strong. It's the last game. I know we're not playing for anything, but we're playing for New Orleans. We're playing for ourselves, playing for pride, and we want to have a good showing.
I don't think
said yesterday is it feels like over the course of these five starts, now six, you've seen you get more comfortable in the huddle, kind of getting in and out, running the offense. Would you say the same thing about yourself? And, you know, what have you kind of learned throughout this process?
Yeah, I think definitely better with, you know, command in the huddle, you know, from the first start to now, just super comfortable in the huddle, you know, looking guys in the eye saying, hey, you know, be ready for this right here. Expect this. Ball's going to be here on this timing. Just communication. You know, I think the leadership part of it, being a rookie, you know, kind of coming out of your shell because you're the guy with the ball in your hands each play, being comfortable to not get after anybody, but be a vocal leader and do what you got to do to help your team. And, you know, I know it's been a tough year for our group, but, you know, we keep fighting. I keep fighting. And, you know, we got one more opportunity to try to go put it together.
Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler trying to get a win under his belt his rookie year since taking over this black and gold team. He's passed for a 55.9 completion percentage this year. He has three touchdowns to five interceptions. Another glaring negative, I would say, for him has been also the fumbles. He's got five there. So turnovers and getting better with your completion percentage is something we need to see out of Spencer Rattler in this. And I know that there have been instances, obviously, when penalties have hurt some of his drives, but overall, it's been a mixed bag from Rattler, and we expect that from the rookie, but still need to see that next step to see if he can be a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. Right now, I still don't think he's proven that.
Yeah, and he's talked about attacking the offseason and what he wants to accomplish in his first full offseason in the NFL. I want to go back to his comment, Steve, about, you know, playing a full game.
Yeah.
And I think his first
half was great.
Well, the first game that he played in the NFL against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, I don't think it describes that better than that, right? Like, you get off to a 17-0 hole, and you're thinking, oh, boy, the rookie quarterback has got to figure out how to get out of this, or else this could get ugly quick. The second quarter, the Saints blitz right back, and they score 27 points, and they go up 27-24 entering halftime. But then after that, you know, the complete game thing fell apart. The second half against the Buccaneers, punt, 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 interception, punt, interception, end of game. You know, that kind of set the tone a little bit for the inconsistencies that you've seen from Rattler so far this year, because he has shown flashes. Like,
the first half of last week was fantastic.
He'll rip some throws, and you're like, okay, this kid is, he's got the arm talent. Like, he's legit. But then it's not consistent. And he's a rookie, and you're not expecting it to be, you know, Jaden Daniels or, you know, what C.J. Stroud was last year, right? Like, it's just not realistic. So, but what you want to see from him, and Jeff mentioned this as well when we were talking with him, you would love to see him pick up his first win entering the offseason. Like, that's a huge confidence boost, especially against a really good Bucs team that's red hot right now. As we mentioned, their last six games, they're 5-1. And they're trending towards the playoffs as a team that not many teams in the postseason want to play in the NFC playoff picture. Spencer Rattler, that's what I would say. You want to see, you know, that full game that he's talking about where he's consistent throwing the ball and maybe not putting up, you know, 35 points in this game, but being competitive against a good Bucs team is what you want to see.
Another inconsistent issue all season long for the Saints was along the offensive line, whether because of injuries or because you have a lot of young talent you're still breaking in there as well. One of those is rookie Taliese Fuaga. He also spoke to the media this week as he gets ready to wrap up the season and get his take on what it was like being a rookie in the NFL this year. Here's what Taliese Fuaga had to say, getting ready for the Bucs.
I guess right now, kind of put your rookie season into perspective, you know, one last game, and you know, they had high hopes for you, obviously, and seems as if they believe, and you know, everyone else believes that you've lived up to those expectations.
Yeah, you know what I mean? For myself, I just feel like kind of the season just goes up and down, you know what I mean? I think that's just the way it goes, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have good games, you're going to have bad games, good plays, bad plays, but, you know, if that's what they think, that's what they think. I kind of just want to, you know, play my own game and just, I know I got a lot of work to do, so.
What did you learn the most this season?
That it's a long season. I mean, that's probably the number one thing. Probably taking care of your body and all those kind of stuff, so.
Was there a point this year where that really sunk in? Like, okay, yeah, like this is different?
Yeah, probably like maybe the first game, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's really just, you know, it's a blessing, but at the same time, it's not easy, so.
When you say ups and downs, did you kind of feel like, you know, okay, I make two steps forward and then you have a game where you felt like you know, now I got to figure out something else different than what I came in thinking I needed to figure out.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously sometimes I feel like I'm getting some progress, but then, you know, might have a game or maybe a couple plays that I feel like, man, I wasn't at my best or what could I have done better? And that's just, you know, just simple things like watching the film, you know what I mean? So,
is that the Denver game for you?
Yeah, for sure. Denver game, I mean, Chiefs game. You can say a lot of games, really. A lot of games like that. Just got to watch the film and see how I can be better and just watch the little things, so.
You know, one thing Clint talked about was Spencer kind of getting more confident, more comfortable in the huddle. Have you kind of noticed that over the last
five? Yeah, for sure. I think he's getting that kind of feel out there, you know what I mean? He's kind of telling guys, hey, speed it up or, you know, do this and that. And, you know, Spence, like I said before, I feel like he's already had that kind of like vet feel and stuff, but he's still learning like those little things that I couldn't tell you about, but he's learning them, so.
Saints rookie left tackle there, Taliese Fuaga, was the Saints' first overall pick, first pick in the 2024 draft, number 14 overall. Haven't heard a lot of him being mentioned this season, and I guess that's always a good thing with an offensive lineman, but there's definitely been the highs for Fuaga and some lows as well. I feel like the first half of the season might have been better for him, but that's also when you had the offensive line mainly intact.
So with Fuaga, I think he's going to be great, in all honesty, and I think he's been off to a good start. Yes, there has been lows, the Denver game, as he mentioned, and as he mentioned himself, the Kansas City game, but Fuaga, I think, is a hit. And out of the first round, which is a good sign for the Saints that they hit on a draft pick. Now, it was a huge need entering last offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a really good class for tackles, so you had to go get one. And they got one. And I think Fuaga is going to be a solid player in the NFL for a long time. This game, I am more nervous about the interior of the Saints offensive line. You don't have Eric McCoy, and you don't have Lucas Patrick. Both of them have been placed on the IR to end their seasons. This was a couple weeks ago. So you have Shane Lemieux starting at center. I think Oli Udo is going to be starting at left guard. You're going against Kalijah Kancey and Vita Vea,
who have been lethal, right?
The Bucs are an interesting team, Steve, because their pass rush production isn't bad, but a ton of it's from the interior.
Right.
Like, they don't have much pressure off the edges. Like, that's probably, if you're Jason Light, the GM of Tampa Bay, and you're looking at the number one need for this Bucs team entering the offseason, like it was for the Saints at offensive tackle last year, for the Buccaneers, it's edge. It's getting a pass rusher off the edge. Yaya Diaby's been okay, right? But, I mean, outside of that, they don't have much pressure off the edge. Logan Hall, you know, whatever. Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey have been their studs on the interior. Both former first-round picks, by the way. So Jason Light and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been hitting on some of these picks. Kalijah Kancey in 11 games played this year, 7.5 sacks. Vita Vea has played 15, 6 sacks. And Vita Vea fits like the profile of a nose tackle, by the way. Like, he is gigantic. He's a space eater. He's a monster in the run game, but he's also getting a ton of pass rush production as well. He's a freak for his size. Like, he's one of those, you know, Bruce Feldman has the Feldman's freaks every year for the draft. Like, Vita Vea is a freak. He's a freak of a human being. So those two on the interior really scare me if I'm the Saints in game planning for this Buccaneers defense.
Right, because you know that pressure's coming right up the gut against Spencer.
Right up the gut. And that's where they're strongest is, once again, those two defensive tackles. I guess Tampa Bay plays a 3-4, so technically Kalijah Kancey's listed as defensive end. But he plays the interior. Those two guys versus Oli Udo and Shane Lemieux, when you don't have Eric McCoy playing in this game, yeah, that's where you're really worried.